I'd like to start today with one of my favorite stories about choice. Jerry was the kind of guy that you loved to hate. He was always in a good mood and had something positive to say all the time. When someone would ask him how he was doing, he would reply, "If I were any better, I'd have to be twins." He was a unique manager because he had several waiters who had followed him around from restaurant to restaurant. And the reason the waiters followed Jerry was because of his attitude. He was a natural motivator. If an employee was having a bad day, Jerry was there telling the employee how to look on the positive side of things. Seeing this style really made me curious, so one day I went up to Jerry and I asked, "I don't get it. You can't be a positive person all the time. How do you do it?" And Jerry replied, "Every morning I wake up and I say to myself, 'Jerry, you've got two choices today. You can choose to be in a good mood or you can choose to be in a bad mood. I choose to be in a good mood. Each time something bad happens, I can choose to be a victim or I can choose to learn from it. I can choose to keep complaining or I can point out the positive side of life. I choose the positive side of life.' 'Yeah, right. It's not that easy,' I protested. 'Yes, it is,' Jerry said. 'Life is all about choices. When you cut away all the junk, every situation is a choice. You choose how you react to situations. You choose how people will affect your mood. You choose to be in a good mood or a bad mood. Bottom line, it's your choice how you live life.'" I reflected on what Jerry said, and soon thereafter, I left the restaurant business to start my own business. We lost touch, but I often thought about Jerry when I made a choice about life instead of reacting to it. Several years later, I heard Jerry had done something you're never supposed to do in the restaurant business. He left the back door open one morning and was held up at gunpoint by three armed robbers. While trying to open the safe, his hand shaking from nervousness slipped off the combinations, and the robbers panicked and shot him. Luckily, Jerry was found relatively quickly and rushed to the local trauma center. After 18 hours of surgery and weeks of intensive care, Jerry was released from the hospital with fragments of the bullet still left in his body. I saw Jerry about 6 months later after the accident, and when I asked him how he was, he replied, "If I were any better, I'd have to be twins. Want to see my scars?" I declined to see the wounds, but I did ask him what had gone through his mind as the robbery took place. Well, the first thing that went through my mind was that I should have locked the back door, Jerry said. Then as I lay on the floor, I remembered I had two choices. I could choose to live or I could choose to die. In that moment, I made a choice to live. "Weren't you scared? Did you lose consciousness?" I asked. Jerry continued, "The paramedics were great. They kept telling me, 'You're going to be fine.' But when they wheeled me into the emergency room and I saw the expressions on the faces of the doctors and nurses, I really got scared. In their eyes, I read, 'He's a dead man.' And I knew I had to take action." "What did you do?" I asked. "Well, there was this big, burly nurse shouting questions at me," said Jerry. "She asked me if I was allergic to anything." "Yes," I replied at the top of my voice. The doctors and the nurses immediately stopped, waiting with bated breath for my reply. And I yelled with all the energy I had left, "Bullets! I'm allergic to bullets!" And over their laughter, I told them, "I am choosing to live. Operate on me as if I'm alive, not dead." Jerry lived, thanks to the skill of his doctors, but also to his amazing attitude. I learned from him that day that we do have a choice to live fully. Attitude, after all, is everything. Attitude, after all, is everything. You and I, we have a choice every moment of every day as to how we're going to live our lives. Don't we? Just like Jerry, we choose. We choose our thoughts that we will think. We choose the feelings that we will feel. And we choose how we act and how we react. Now, I hate to tell you, but you do not have a choice over what other people think, say, or do. Now, how many of you have spent most of your life trying to fix someone else or trying to make somebody... Thank you! I love honest people! You know, fixing or trying to make somebody do what you want them to do doesn't work, does it? No, it doesn't work. It hasn't worked for us. You know, how many of you have spent energy this week trying to make somebody do something different than they wanted to do? You don't have a choice over other people. You don't have a choice over the weather. You don't have a choice over what a person will think, say, or do. Now, you may have an influence. And we influence people. But the only person that you have, or the only thing you have a choice over is what you think, say, or do. You choose how you will act or react in any given situation. You choose your attitude. You choose the thoughts that you will think. Now, when we get this, when we really, really get this, we will realize that we're the ones who get to choose whether we're going to live in heaven or hell. Now, heaven and hell, I hate to break the news to you, is not a place to go in the afterlife. Lord knows we don't have to wait until we die. You know, we have lived in our own heaven, right? And we have also, probably many, multiple times, lived in the hell of our own creation. Heaven and hell in unity are states of consciousness. They're states of consciousness that we choose every moment of every day by the thoughts we choose to think. Now, we will start living more and more in heaven if we give up the thoughts like, oh, it's not fair. You ever said that? Oh, it's not my fault. You know, that's just the way it is. Now, when we stop our pity party and we start really taking ownership of our choices and start thinking correctly, when we stop our pity party, and start moving into the realm of, I have a choice here. Then we, the realm of heaven, will become a present moment reality. And we will bring and anchor heaven on earth right here and right now. But what we love to do is we love to tell people how really bad it is, don't we? Now, before we start acknowledging the presence of God, and not only that, we love to get people to agree with us on how unfair and awful things are. Ever done that? We create our own little support system. And we stay stuck. That's where we stay stuck. But if we can let go and move into that knowing that, hey, I can change my thoughts here, guess what? Everything begins to shift in your life because God is always present. Always, always present. There is never a place or situation where God is more present than at other times. Now, there's times that we're more tuned into God, right? There are more times, especially after a wonderful little meditation and you're just humming and buzzing. And, you know, we can really tune into that presence of God. When we let go of the resentments and the anger and the bad attitudes and our fear and all that stuff that keeps us separate from God, then in those moments we can truly experience the presence of God. So we get to choose. We get to decide where we place our attention. We get to decide what we're going to focus on. We get to decide what we're going to think. And our third basic unity principle is the law of mind action. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. We become what we think about all day long. And many of us are programmed to think or to believe that life is happening to us. We believe life is happening to us and there ain't nothing I can do about it. But that's why Jesus said, repent. Repent. It comes from a Greek word, metanoia, which simply means change your thinking. That's all repent means. It means change your thinking. Take your attention off your old belief that says life is happening to me. Take your attention off the situation, the problem. Repent. Change your thinking. Take your attention off the problem. Place it on God. Love. Wisdom. Whatever you know God to be in that moment. Whatever you know God to be in that moment. Repent. Because the consciousness of ever-expanding good, which is definition for heaven, so heaven is, it's a consciousness of ever-expanding wholeness and good. The consciousness of heaven is literally unfolding in you, right here and right now. So watch where your attention goes. Watch what you're thinking. Watch where your attention goes. Because the presence and power of infinite love, wisdom, and all goodness is pouring itself through you right now and saying yes to whatever it is you're focused on. So if you're focusing on and talking about and thinking and obsessively thinking all the time about it, that, you know, I'll never have a loving relationship. I'll never find a job that's fulfilling. I'll never be successful. I'll never have any money. The infinite love intelligence of the universe is saying yes to whatever you're focusing on in that moment. And our mind plays a funny, very funny game. Your mind has to prove that what you're thinking is true. So your mind will go out and gather all sorts of evidence, will set up all sorts of situations to prove to you that what you're thinking is true. So guess what? You'll never have a loving relationship. You'll never find a job that's fulfilling. You'll never be successful and you'll never have enough money. Because the infinite love intelligence, the universe says yes to whatever you're focusing on. Does that make you want to be a little bit more careful with your thoughts? I hope so. I hope I'm scaring the pants off of you. So that you really begin to think, this is our third basic principle and one of the most important. And what we're about as a spiritual community is we're learning to hold a consciousness of awareness that even though our intellectual mind can't see the good, we go there instantly anyway. We call it good until we see it. Remembering what we focus on, we attract more of. And so the truth is it's all good. It really is all good. Even the situations we label bad. The spouse that walked out or partner that walked out, the job that we were just released from, the diagnosis we received. Now, it may take you a while to see the good. It doesn't happen instantly. But just look back on your life and just notice that probably the moments that you had the greatest spiritual growth were those moments that were the most painful. Because it kicks us out of our comfort zone. It opens us up to a whole new realm of possibilities that we could not see before. In the midst of that painful experience, you get a chance to make a new choice about what you believe, don't you? And then that experience becomes a good experience, doesn't it? Because guess what? If you don't change your thinking, you get to experience it again and again and again and again until you change your thinking. Our Creator loves us so much that we're given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to change our thinking. And the good news is you can change your thinking. You can change your attitude. You can change your belief. And you can bring forth something different in your life. That's the good news. Now, to help us do this, Emmett Fox has a great little booklet. How many of you know Emmett Fox? Oh, good. Most of you do. He's one of my favorite writers. He's no longer alive, but he had a huge ministry in New York City. You might know him from the Sermon on the Mount and The Power Through Constructive Thinking are two of his most popular books. But he wrote a whole series of little booklets. There's some in the bookstore, but they don't have this one. My favorite is The 7-Day Mental Diet. How many of you know The 7-Day Mental Diet? Okay, just a few of you. What Emmett Fox invites us to do is for 7 consecutive days, not just 7, but 7 consecutive days, he invites us to go on a mental fast from negative thinking. Now, if you were to go on a diet, a physical diet, you would know what that means, right? You don't eat certain foods for a certain period of time. So what I want to challenge you to do is for 7 consecutive days, go on a mental fast, which means no blaming, no worrying, no doubting, no whining. It means no complaining, no criticizing, no gossiping. Okay, take a deep breath. Because I know many of you are thinking, what am I going to talk about? Now, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have a negative thought. So be good to yourself. Don't beat yourself up on that. Buddha, I think it was Buddha who once said, the birds will fly over your head, but you can what you can do is prevent them from nesting on your head. So people are going to be complaining. They're going to be criticizing, and they're going to be gossiping around you. But what you can do is not listen to it, literally walk away. Because you're polluting your own mind and your own body. Walk away. Don't dwell on it. Don't entertain it. Don't call somebody and talk about it. You know? Just walk away. Now, a great analogy is if you were sitting by an open fire and an ember were to leap out and land on your sleeve, what would you do? Phew, you would flick it off immediately, as soon as you could, because it sits there for 1 second and the damage is already done. Well, negative thoughts are more harmful than that. Criticizing other people, criticizing yourself, putting others down, being negative, it's more harmful to you than any ember could be sitting on your body, because it pollutes your thinking. It controls every kind of situation that you will have. Emmett Fox writes in this little booklet, 7-Day Mental Diet, he said, you choose your life. That is to say, you choose all the conditions of your life when you choose the thoughts upon which your mind will dwell. Thought is the real causative force in life, and there is no other. You cannot have one kind of mind and another kind of environment. This, then, is the real key to life. If you change your mind, your conditions must change too. Your body must change. Your daily work or other activities must change. Your home must change. Your whole life must change. And you'll probably find you have a whole lot more quiet time to be able to sit in meditation and connect to God, because you won't be gossiping, complaining, or criticizing. It'll free you up to do to be about your Father's business, to be about the business of love. And so your assignment, should you so choose to accept it, for the next week, well, it's probably going to take you multiple weeks, but we're going to do 7 consecutive days, not just 7 days in total, but 7 consecutive days of not for a single moment dwelling on any kind of negative thinking, negative thoughts. To help us through this, there's a wonderful little tool that I find extremely helpful. Edwine Gaines, has she been here? Okay, Edwin Gaze is a unity minister and an amazing prosperity teacher. And she teaches this. She said, if you are conscious, as soon as you become conscious that you're entertaining a negative thought, she says, say, that's God, that's great. God, that's great. So let's try that together. God, that's great. So if you go into work tomorrow and your colleagues are gossiping, you're going to quietly say to yourself, let's practice, God, that's great. Because if you judge them or you make them wrong, you've just embellished on a negative thought. Okay, it's very insidious. You have to be very, very careful. So you judge somebody else, you've just, that's a negative thought. And so you go back to day one. You want to be really careful when you're on day three, four, or especially six. Because if you, the minute you entertain a negative thought, you go back to day one and you start it all over again. But when you begin to be aware of your negative thinking, you'll notice that the minute you have a negative thought, your energy drains. We are so used to negative thinking that we think being tired and sluggish is normal. But we're wired for joy. And so today, if you go out to the parking lot to get into your car to go home after service, and you see your tire is flat, what are you going to say? God, that's great! Start being appreciative. Start being appreciative and start giving thanks for every situation in your life because you don't know the good that might come out of it. Listen to this story. This is a true story. This happened in our church in Tallahassee, Florida. We had a fabulous music program just like we have here. And Daryl was the guitar player. He was very beloved in our church. And after service, he had his guitar. He's walking out to his car. He has a flat tire. Now, Daryl doesn't have a whole lot of money. And so he's standing there worrying about how is he going to buy a new tire. Well, Valerie walks out, sees the situation. She adores Daryl. She goes right up to him and she goes, Daryl, I would love to buy you a tire. Now, it just so happened we were next door to a tire place. It happened to be open on Sunday, that Sunday at least. Daryl got his car over there. The guy looked at his tires. He goes, you really need four new tires. Valerie said, Daryl, I would love to buy you four new tires. Daryl's driving home that day. What do you think Daryl's saying? God, that's great. He's got four new tires on his car. So what he thought was a bad situation turned out to be a fabulous situation. So 7 consecutive days, no negative thinking. If you goof up, now it may take you a few days, usually takes it maybe a couple of weeks to get to day two. Because we're so used to thinking negatively and talking negatively, you got to get in the swing of things. So when you get to day three, give yourself a big pat on the back. You did really good. And be really careful, as I said, on day five or six. Especially day 7, because you blow it, not a problem, no biggie, you just start all over again. Now, to help you, some of you say, well, I need a book, I need something, I need, help. There's a great book in the bookstore, it's called A Complaint-Free World. It's by Will Bowen. I understand he was here a couple years ago, because he's a classmate of Reverend John's. And so I had Pat order some books, as I said, there may be some people who want a little help here. So pick that book up. It's a really good book. But now his program is 21 days. And I thought about using that. I thought about talking about that today. But on Tuesday, I called Bev and I said, I'm going to change my talk. I thought, I'm going to start with Emmett Fox's 7 days. Let's take a baby step here. And let's do 7. And I'll check with you next Easter to see how you're doing. Will said to go 21 days. I think he says it takes an average of 6 to 8 months to do it. Yeah. So I'll keep checking in with you. So let's keep practicing this. Don't give up after 1 week, but really try to see if you can make it through 7 days. I guarantee your life will change. Practice on the small stuff. So when the really big stuff comes along, you can say, God, that's great. Because you know what you're doing with the formative power of your thoughts? You're taking it and placing it on God. You're repenting. You're changing your thinking about the situation. You're saying it's great. And all God needs is a split second to shift everything in your life. The world doesn't need any more people telling it what's wrong. Do you agree? It needs people like you and I willing to see what's right. Willing to remember that we choose the thoughts we think that create the experiences that we have, that create the world that we see around us. So stop being part of the problem. Start creating heaven wherever you go. Be willing to take a stand and say, wherever I am, God will show up. Wherever I am, the light of the world will radiate. Wherever I am, the light, the love, the joy of God will flow. And so whatever's going on in your life this week, what are you going to say? God, that's great. And individually and as a spiritual community, together, we will create heaven on earth. And God, that's great. God bless you. Have a great week. I wish you the best.